Our final reading tonight is from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. As soon as the heavenly messengers disappeared into heaven, the shepherds were buzzing with conversation. "Let's rush down to Bethlehem right now. Let's see what's happening. Let's experience what the Lord has told us about." So they ran into town, and eventually they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a feeding trough. After they saw the baby, they spread the word about the story they had experienced and what had been said to them about this child. Everyone who heard their story couldn't stop thinking about its meaning. Mary, too, pondered all these events, treasuring each moment in her heart. The shepherds returned to their flocks, praising God for all they had seen and heard, and they glorified God for the way the experience had unfolded, just as the heavenly messenger had predicted. Tonight, before I share a thought with you, I want to light the center candle to remind us that what we really just read about was the fact that God sent his light in the person of Christ to shine in this dark world. I am so very thankful that all of you chose to take this evening to worship with us, to join us as part of your Christmas celebration. And on a personal note, it was so good to see some friends that I don't see that often as you came tonight. It just blessed my heart greatly. We've been engaged here over the last several weeks here in our church in a series leading up to this night called The Awe and Wonder of Christmas. We've been looking afresh at the wonderful encounters that the cast of characters in the Christmas story experienced. Not only did these characters come to experience the wonder of who God is, but it caused them to respond in various heartfelt personal ways. For example, I just want to review briefly where we have been. The first one to experience an encounter with God was a priest by the name of Zechariah. Zechariah and his wife were living under the cloud of being childless. But God showed up in the midst of their discouragement. And in the end, they were also promised a child that would be the forerunner or the opening act to Jesus Christ coming. Zechariah, after encountering the wonder of God, went from not being able to speak at all to declaring the prophetic praises of God. Mary, a young woman of low estate, in her own words, meaning that means that her status in life, who her parents were, where she was from, who she was engaged to, would not have garnered any attention on her part. But she did not go unnoticed by God. This young woman named Mary experienced the wonder of God, and that wonder ended up leaking out in worship. And the world has not stopped talking about her since. And then just this last Sunday, we talked about her husband-to-be named Joseph, a man who was just going about life, trying to do the right things, but found himself, after Mary had talked to him about her situation, he found himself caught between a rock and a hard place. He was contemplating two equally difficult choices. But again, he did not go unnoticed by God. Joseph encountered the wonder of God, And that wonder led to him knowing the wisdom of God. So I want you, before we look at our characters tonight, I want you to just ponder this for just a moment with me. Here are three people that were just doing their ordinary life. In the case of Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were carrying the ball and chain of not being able to have children. And God met them and turned their situation around. In the case of Mary, a young lady making plans for the final chapter in their long engagement and wedding plans, probably destined to live an unfamed life in a little town called Nazareth. But when God showed up in this young woman's life, and she encountered the wonder of God, God turned her life, specifically turned her womb, into a place to bring forth the Son of God. And then finally, her husband-to-be. A carpenter, quite likely. A construction worker. Just doing what construction workers do. Going about, making plans, to build a home so that they'd have somewhere to live. And as he went about this, he finds some new information about his wife-to-be. She's already pregnant. He knows it's not his. And that makes him begin to ponder and think about what to do. What am I going to do? And in the midst of that, God showed up in his life and changed that moment of difficulty, totally redirected him, gave him the wisdom he needed in the moment to go on to fulfill the plan and call of God for his life. Tonight, I'm asking you to join with me for just a moment as we focus upon the awe and wonder that showed up in the shepherd's life, in their part of the Christmas story. A moment ago, Ben and Lisette read to you the beginning part of that, and then I finished their part of the story just a moment ago. In this passage, we are made aware that God comes first to shepherds to announce the birth of his son on earth. Let me say that to you again, because I don't want you to overlook it. That when God chose to make the announcement of his son coming to earth, being born on earth, he went to some shepherds to make that announcement. Now, if we could just be real with one another here for a moment. If a king of royalty were to be born in Israel, I think it's fair to say that probably the last ones to know about that royal happening would have been the shepherds. You see, the shepherds on the social structure of their day were near the bottom of the list. Of course, if you look at the pictures of the nativity that we have today, we have dressed the shepherds up. We've dressed them up. We put a staff in their hand. We made them look like sheiks. They look good. But the truth be told, they were poor ruffians. In fact, history tells us that the shepherds were nobodies in the social structure of the ancient Near East. They would have been some of the least paid people of their day. They were not able to testify in the court of law because their testimony was considered unreliable. You couldn't trust what they might tell you. Shepherds were thought to be crafty, dishonest, something akin to gypsies, vagabonds, and con men all rolled into one. The shepherds would have had no formal education, and thus they would not have been able to read the scriptures. To complicate things even further, they were considered unclean and thus unable to come into the temple for worship. It is quite plausible that these particular shepherds, located near Bethlehem, would have been the very shepherd to be raising the sheep that would have been used as sacrifices in the temple. But what you need to know is that while they were good enough to raise the sheep, they weren't good enough to come into the temple to experience their own forgiveness of sins. In the eyes of the elite, and in the language of our day, we could say that these shepherds were the deplorables. They were the smelly Walmart shoppers. But while they did not measure up in terms of how people saw them then, they did not go unnoticed by God. And my experience and also my studying of Scripture would come to this conclusion that God seems to have a habit of displaying his wonder to the least of these type people. Aren't you glad for that tonight? As fellow smelly Walmart shoppers. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God has a habit of showing up to people like us? He did not go to the kings of that day. He went to the field and he said, you know, there's some ruffians down there and I'm going to let them be the first ones in on the good news that has come to earth. These shepherds that were used to witnessing lambs being born, God chose to give them a front row seat to the birth of the Lamb of God. After the angels had made their announcement to them concerning who this baby was and where they could find him, and after they found themselves being surrounded by the Holy City Tabernacle Choir, verse 16 says, they hurried off. They ran. They left quickly to investigate this news that they had been told. They didn't say, well, ho-hum, we're just going to go back to taking care of our sheep tonight. They didn't debate the reality of whether angels could really come down from heaven and tell them what they told them. They didn't say, hey, guys, we're really not dressed well enough for this occasion. They're not like the wise men in the story. They didn't have any gifts to bring. They just brought themselves. No, instead, the picture is painted for us of shepherds who couldn't wait to go see the Savior that had been born for them. Remember, they're not used. They don't live a life of hearing good news all the time. If we were to liken them to one of the modern day Christmas stories, I would say they were kind of the Charlie Brown of the hour. You know, Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown was looked down as hopeless by those around him. And it is quite likely that these shepherds also had a hopeless outlook. Charlie Brown once had in one of the comic strips, he came out with a new philosophy. This is what he said. "I've developed a new philosophy. I only dread one day at a time." These shepherds couldn't wait to see proof of the good news that they had been told. Verse 16 tells us that they went and they found things just as it had been told to them. This was no con job. This was no smoke and mirrors. This wasn't God saying one thing over here and doing something different over there. They went and they found things just as they had been told. I want to tell all of us tonight, you can trust what God says. You can trust what God says. It's what they did next that I want to leave you with tonight. In verse 17, let me read it to you again. It says, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it," that means everyone that they had talked to about this, "were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." The wonder that the shepherds had been caught up in that night led them to be the first witnesses of good news to others. They could not keep what God had done to themselves. It's important that you understand that tonight. It's important that we understand that the shepherds did not go and see what they saw and then simply go back to their jobs. It tells us here that after seeing what they had been told and realizing something's going on here that's for real, they could not possibly go back to things as normal. They had to say something to someone. And I want you to ponder this for just a moment. These are the least likely people to be preaching the gospel for the first time. The least likely one. Just like you and I here tonight are probably some of, if we knew all of our stories, we're some of the least likely people to be talking to others about this good news. But as I said to you a moment ago, God does some of his best work with the least of these type people. And I can only imagine the people that they were talking to. You know, I've been around church life long enough to see people that in my mind's eye, I would maybe have never thought they would embrace Christ with their lives. Some of you are them. I've seen people at a distance and said, "Boy, I don't know if God can ever get a hold of their hearts." And then God gets a hold of their hearts, and then we're really surprised that their lives somehow take a 180. Hallelujah to that. The wonder of God caused Zechariah to become a wordsmith of prophetic significance. The wonder of God led Mary to pour out her heart in worship. The wonder of God led Joseph to choose wisdom for himself and his family. And tonight, we discover that it was the wonder of God that caused the shepherds to become the first witnesses of the gospel. Tonight, God wants us to have eyes to see the wonder of who God truly is. Recently, I received a Christmas card, and I just want to read to you because I thought it did an awesome job of saying, at least in part, who this baby is that was born in the manger. The front of the card simply starts out with the name Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the breath of life within us, the fountain that refreshes us, the grace that frees us, the truth that renews our minds, the way that guides our steps, the love that fills our hearts, and the fullness that gives us joy. That's who was born in that manger that night. And his influence continues to permeate our hearts today. Many people around the world since the time of the shepherds have heard the good news about the birth of Jesus. As we gather here tonight, you could come here and kind of have a ho-hum heart about this whole thing. Tonight, you could kind of have a yeah-whatever approach to it. Or you can allow this moment of being reminded about what God did some 2,000 plus years ago in order to set things straight in our hearts and lives, in order to cause us not to have to live apart from Him. Tonight, I want to ask you, would you open your heart? Would you open your heart to Him afresh? Would you be open to experience the wonder of who God is in your life? I promise you, if you will open your heart, He will come in. I promise you, if you will give Him your time and attention, He will meet you wherever you're at. And when you experience the wonder of God, it will change you. It will transform you. It will wreck your life as you know it. It did the shepherds. It did Mary. It did Joseph. And so many other New Testament examples I could tell you. When your heart gets changed, it will translate into a different life for you. And dare I say, I want you to know, a better life for you. This change will end up leaking out of your mouth because your mouth is connected to your heart. The first Christmas radically altered the lives of all who encountered the wonder of God. Won't you please allow the wonder of God to captivate your heart tonight? I want to pray with you. I know Heidi and the girls are coming back to sing. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we are so grateful that you stepped into our world. And tonight, as just ordinary people, Lord, we are so thankful that you took regular people and did something earth-shattering in and through their lives. And when it came time to make others aware of what you had done, Lord, you took some less than perfect people and you said, you're going to be the first to see what I've done. You're going to be the first to give testimony to others about what God is doing. Tonight, Lord, I'm thankful that you are willing to work with us, imperfect as we are. And you want to do something in our hearts that will cause us to see you for who you really are and have our lives feel fulfilled, Lord. But you also want to use us as shepherds in our day to bring this news of great joy that you said would be for all the people. Lord, I pray tonight, do something fresh in all of our hearts and lives. Open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see who you truly are. And when we see who you truly are, Lord, it will be impossible for us to keep our mouths shut. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for doing something in my heart. Thank you for doing something in the hearts of many who are here tonight. We are not going through this Christmas, Lord, without experiencing the wonder of who you are again. Show yourself to us, we pray, Lord. Visit us, I ask, by a work of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.